Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 40 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we have a guest with us to talk about Mythic Plus, especially in Shadowlands. You want to introduce yourself, Trell?
Yeah, my name is Trell. I've been a monk main for several years now. I'm an MDI player. I stream a lot. I'm on Titanforge WoW podcast. I'm sponsored by BGG, Delete Toldegore. Yeah, that's about it.
So you mentioned Toldegore. I actually have a question. Did you try and name an MDI team Delete Toldegore?
I think we thought about it a couple times, but we never actually ended up seriously considering it.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been pretty funny.
So yeah, this week we are going to be talking about a bunch of Mythic Plus stuff. We are not going to spend a whole lot of time diving into specifics of, you know, specific dungeons and routes and that kind of thing. That'll come later. We want to more talk about like the design, how they compare to BFA dungeons and how things are looking for Brewmaster and other monks. But I mean, me and Trell both main brew, so mostly Brewmaster in Shadowlands dungeons. Before we get into that though, Anom, what happened this week?
Oh, we had a little bit of fun this week. So, a couple things happened. First up, Blizzard did the correct thing after everybody spent about 4 million gold on buying Fish Feast in nerfing them. So, if folks don't remember, PTRK or, Shadowlands pre-patch is out. Blizzard made changes to the way mana, drinking for mana works in that it's now a ramp up. So it takes your first few ticks of any drink you take is kind of slower, smaller ticks, and eventually a ramp up to, the normal rate. Essentially means that, healers and potentially DPS classes that use mana, which aren't many, but healers mostly, I just have to sit longer and drink. So at the time, Fish Feasts, the current Fish Feasts, were unaffected by this, meaning that Fish Feasts retained their normal, instantaneous full ticks for those first couple. And they would have been like the de facto food you would have used in any sort of competitive content, Mythic Plus being the main one. Blizzard this week essentially capped their effectiveness, the current Fish Feasts, at 50, level 50. And they've instituted or kind of introduced new Fish Feasts, which will scale to 60. And those new Fish Feasts include the kind of slower mana regen. So that's a great change. I mean, that love sitting and drinking in dungeons, like, you don't have to go fast. I get to go slower if I use mana. So,
Do you know by chance how that compares to the mage food?
I think the new Fish Feasts are the same tick rate, I believe. I didn't actually look at the numbers, but the problem is the mage food was also affected by the kind of the mana regen nerf. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It was literally only Fish Feasts until they changed it. We're the only thing unaffected. So, yeah, it's a kind of a terrible change all around for healers in Mythic Plus. So, that'll be fun to sort of play around coming up. So that's kind of that. I mean, there's nothing really else there other than Blizzard kind of not nerfed, but
we talked about
the last remaining item
when they first actually made that change. It's still exactly the same, except now Fish Feast is into loophole.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. So then the next thing up is Blizzard announced this week that they are essentially flipping the Soulbind trees. I guess maybe not fully flipping them, but the idea is that the capstone ability for most of your Soulbind trees or all of your Soulbind trees is now the first ability you unlock. So at the start of your tree, every tree now starts at a single Soulbind ability, which was the previous capstone one. So overall, I think this ends up being a potentially good change. You sort of get that capstone ability up front earlier on, but I think Emil said you're talking about this is potentially a nerf to Pelagos.
Yeah. So for those that aren't aware, the first Kyrian Soulbind, Pelagos, has both a very desirable capstone ability and also a very desirable first ability in their tree. And the first ability basically just reads you do 5% more damage because it gives you a stacking buff up to 5% versatility. And obviously that's pretty good. And that's now been moved to the end of the tree. So whether it is a functional nerf to Pelagos or not actually depends on how good your mastery is, because that is now what you get first. The capstone ability, which has been moved to the beginning of the tree, gives a decent amount of mastery. And if your mastery is very good, like it is for Brewmaster, then you probably don't care. But if you play a class that doesn't want mastery, then obviously this is a big downgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I haven't looked at all of the ways they flipped them. Cause I know that some they've actually changed sort of the ending abilities too. Like they've either shifted just the rows up one, or they've kind of retooled the entire tree. So
yeah, it varies. One that needs more attention is there is a Soulbind tree for Night Fae. I think Dreamweaver, I don't remember the full name. It has the it had the capstone ability that when you took fatal damage, you would instead be put into a pod with a small amount of health for 10 seconds. And if the pod lived, then it would resurrect you after 10 seconds. And
that thing is so bad for tanks.
It's really bad. A lot of tanks were actually just not taking the capstone ability in the tree. Like if they wanted to try out that tree, they would just not use that ability. They wouldn't put a point in it. But now you actually can't use anything from the tree unless you take that ability. And I mean, you want to run us through? I would actually use it because I don't have beta. You want to run us through why that's so bad for tanks, Troll?
Yeah, so it's definitely designed for a non-tank. Like it has like a 10k threshold, I think. Like if you survive, if you get hit for less than 10k damage during the pod's channel, then you'll come back to life. But as a tank player, you'll usually take at least 10k in any kind of meaningful content within like one GCD. So like the moment you get into that cheat death pod, you're dead. There's no way it's coming back unless like the only situation I could see a tank actually living through that would be if someone else in the party somehow had a Mastodon, or if they were the off tank in a raid fight and they died on like the last hit before their tank off tank, before their co tank taunted.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know how that interacts real quick? Do you know how that interacts with like something like GS or other sort of like cheat death ish abilities?
Oh, how it like,
yeah, like what the order is
cheat death. I have no idea. I haven't even tested that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So basically this ability has like two modes for tanks. There's one where it does nothing at all because you instantly die. And there's one where you sit there CC'd for 10 seconds on the ground and can't be battle rezzed. And neither of those are good. Like if you have the mobs in the Mythic Plus running around for 10 seconds because somehow they didn't kill you, your group's probably dead. And by the same token, like a lot of raid fights, if you let the boss go back to your co-tank, they're going to refresh their tank debuff or whatever so that the tank swaps are screwed and possibly kill your co-tank as well. And it just leads to a whole lot of bad things being on the ground for that amount of time before anything can be done about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know what they could change to make that viable for tanks. Like, they could up the numbers drastically for tank specs, but then that would just get outscaled in hard content anyway, eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or turn it into, like, what is it? DK's, like, purgatory, where, like, if a healer could heal a certain amount of health, you break early.
That's probably the way to go, is make it a purgatory. And, like, if they really want to change it up, instead of it being a purgatory where it drops you below one, it could just be, like, when it would kill you, it gives you an absorb instead. And if the absorb gets consumed, you die or something. I don't know. Something that doesn't CC you or instantly get consumed by damage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's soul binds, man. But yeah, the big thing is they flip the trees, which sounds like it's a good thing, except for maybe some like edge cases where you have just bad capstones that you never took anyway. That now you have to take to take that Soulbind. So that's on Soulbind's flipped. We'll have to do some testing. We'll see how it works out. But it sounds like potentially a good thing, just that now you get that sort of more powerful increase or power increasing ability up front, right? Versus having to slog through, what is it, like 30-ish weeks of renowned capping.
Yeah.
let's forget it. So
I do like their idea on doing that. I think in I think in general they're like, oh, let's shift the power forward more at the beginning of the tier, which I like, but unintentionally obviously they cause some problems.
I definitely like the intention of like, let's time gate it less instead of it being like, you know, 18 or 20 or 30 weeks, whatever it is. It's going to be, you know, 8 weeks to get all of your quote unquote capstone abilities, what were formerly capstone abilities from your soulbind trees.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So I think moving on to our next item, which is Nyalotha nerfs. Generally a blanket, what is it, 10% nerf across the board for Nyalotha?
Yeah. So I put this on the list. I just think it's funny. like they just nerfed every boss in the instance by 10%. 10% damage done, 10% health. It's just a 10% blanket nerf. And I understand that not every guild is in the same position that mine is in, where like our kills were actually faster in pre-patch than they were before pre-patch. And that probably varies some with like which classes you have. Like if you've got a lot of warriors, you're probably having a bad time. But I just thought it was really funny that they just do a blanket nerf. There are a couple of things that I think are outliers still that probably don't need necessarily to be addressed, but they're definitely different than they were before. They also nerfed the tank mechanics on Carapace and made a very funny change to Carapace as well. The Infinite Void, which is the purple puddle that happens in phase 3, they nerfed it by 50%. But that's actually a little bit of a, like, it's kind of like the Ilganoth change that they initially made, where it actually makes the fight harder, because now you can't use Infinite Void to break the shield that gets put on people in phase 3. There's a roundabout way to do it. Basically, you have all of your DPS and healers, like everyone that's eligible to get targeted by that mechanic, go and stand in the Infinite Void a couple seconds before the cast happens. And then the people who don't get it move out just so they can stack up the debuff. It's really dumb.
That's so, yeah. What a, how are you supposed to break it like normally?
I don't know. I don't think they thought that through.
Oh God, Blizzard. Yeah, that's kind of, I was actually just reading that too. I was like, oh man, they made a bunch of Carapace changes too. I'm like, that seems like just damage reduction. Can't be too bad. But yeah, I didn't think about breaking the orb things. God, that's rough. I mean, 10% nerf, always fun. Just kind of get to kill things 10% faster. Still hope every week nobody buys a full in the like Nyalotha clear, because I don't want to kill every boss.
I mean, if you haven't done the one phase Vexiona strat by this point, now's a great time to try. We did it this week with two tanks and three healers, which is like a basically normal comp.
Nice. Yeah, we'll have to check it. I don't know what we're doing this week.
My guild's been taking the time off. We just took 2 weeks. We killed the last two bosses the first 2 days of the patch, but then we took the next 2 weeks off, so we haven't experienced all these changes yet.
Yeah. I mean, we still have sales for some reason. People are still buying mounts. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to be picking sales back up next week, I think. Because people still want to buy the mount, and we still want gold in the bank, so
true. Cool. All right, so next up, I think this is late breaking news, but Exorcist, which is the Russian guild, of who'd they kill? What was the
Xavius, maybe?
Xavius. I was trying to think of the, I had like the tip of my tongue, but Xavius fame, but I mean, they've been like a top, you know, three guild, I think, in the world for a while, up until I think that tier, and they kind of take the end of Legion and most of BFA, sort of a lower, I guess, time commitment sort of guild. Still, like, I think it's top 20 in the world. So, but yeah, they have rerolled Alliance as of, you know, this week. So they've all moved over to Alliance. Their roster is literally 90% dwarves, I think.
There's a lot of dwarves. It's like everything that can be a dwarf is a dwarf or a dark iron dwarf. The only thing that I've seen is a demon hunter, which obviously can't be a dwarf.
Right, exactly. So yeah, so I mean, looks like they are expecting the bleed, I guess the bleed damage in Castle Ithendra to be pretty big deal. So I think Wowhead had an article up and they're speculating it's particularly for Stone Legion, that fight. But yeah, it seems like they're kind of banking on the bleed damage being a huge issue, and, you know, Dwarf with their racial being able to clear that definitely helps out on that one. So do you guys think we'll see other guilds go Alliance for this? I mean, Exorcist being the first one, it seems kind of early. Like, Blizzard has a habit of making some changes to things, but do you guys think we'll see anybody else go Alliance for this one?
I don't know. You know, I think every time a big guild goes Alliance, there's a far greater chance that more do. So now that we've seen one, yeah, I think it's we'll see more soon.
Someone has, you know, taken the first step and now other people are more willing to do it as well. But at the same time, this is the kind of thing that I wouldn't be surprised to see Blizzard turn around and make some more of these bleed mechanics shadow dots. Like, if they really want you to do Stone Legion Generals this one way, they will make it so you can't dispel that with a Dwarf Racial, and they will not feel bad about it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it all goes down. So, and then one final thing before we get into the topic of the day, and this, I put this on here because I'm really excited about this, but Blizzard released the, like, fairy Fey Dragon transmog to the world. You can pick it up with your 6-month sub, or what is it, like $20 on the Blizzard store right now? It's amazing if you guys don't have it.
Which works out to somewhere around like 250 to 300,000 gold, depending on the token prices. So
yeah, you got to get it. Spend the gold. It's so good. People haven't seen it. Yeah, it looks so, a fun fact, it looks great with a Thunder Fury as your main hand. And you have to get like, what is it, like the Wraith Chill weapon enchant, which turns it like all like this light blue color. God, I look so good right now. I have a flower as my offhand. It's amazing.
So I've heard a couple theories on why they're releasing it now. One is to boost Q4 earnings for Blizzard Activision Blizzard, because they're going to push the release to next year. Or two, this was like the BlizzCon attraction. Like, last year was the Yeti suit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Someone pointed out, like, this... So the Yeti suit and other BlizzCon goodies have had the BlizzCon logo on them, and this does not have it. I don't know. Like, that's the kind of thing that doesn't take very long to remove and just replace it with a solid color, you know, if it were going to be on the shoulder or chest or something. But I could see it being, you know, either one. I would be surprised if they delayed Shadowlands all the way to 2021. I would not be surprised if they delayed it to, like, early December, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope it's early December, personally. So,
yeah, gotta take some time off, just play the game, be fun. So cool. I think that was the last what happened this week that I had. So I think it's time to talk Mythic Plus, something I don't do a lot of.
I actually just got out of doing some with people from the guild on live, because people are re-rolling and trying to get a feel for their new characters and everything. But yeah, so I guess for some context, like, I basically just do my weekly keys after I've gotten the Keystone Master achievement. And I don't have beta, so I have done zero Shadowlands keys and I have no idea how those are going. How about...
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done quite a few.
I bet.
There's a couple, Trelhan. Just like 2-3 got in there.
Yeah, 200-300. No, not that much. I've probably done like 50 beta keys.
Yeah, I did a couple like the first week they opened Mythic, Mythic Plus, but I haven't really done a ton. I'm not a huge Mythic Plus person. I did actually get Keystone Master this season with a bunch of my friends, which was like they came back to the game, which was a lot of fun. But I had to tank it. And I'll be honest with you guys, I hate tanking. So it's going to be a fun episode for me to talk about all the Mythic Plus stuff coming up. So
yeah, I mean, I guess maybe something to get us started. Going from Legion to BFA, there was a pretty big shift, I would say, in dungeon design, where like a lot of the trash in Legion keys did nothing except for a couple of notable mobs. You know, there were entire packs of things that just like a caster and three guys that beat on the tank.
Yeah, that's accurate.
We don't really have that in BFA keys outside of like some parts of Freehold.
Yeah, that's true.
How are things looking in Shadowlands? Like, have they switched up their design philosophy for like the trash again? Is it more BFA?
Trash design in Shadowlands is like somewhere in the middle between BFA and Legion. BFA is like extremely evolved. Some mobs had like 5 different casts on a spell queue that varied when you pulled them. Legion had like a couple mobs, like you said, that were that involved, but most of the time they had 0 to 1 mechanics. Whereas Shadowlands dungeons, the mobs are more on like the 1 to 2 cast type of mobs. Like almost all the mobs have 1 to 2 spells they do, whether they're interruptible or not. And almost every single pack seems to have some kind of tank hit, except for Mists. Mists of Tyranid Scythe is probably the easiest to tank after the first area because nothing else really does like a formal tank mechanic. But yeah, on average, it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's more manageable. And it's weird to say this, but it's more manageable to like pull several packs together in Shadowlands once we get more powerful than in BFA. However, since there's also the target cap now, it's going to rein that in and bring it back to the challenges of BFA just in a different way.
I honestly think that sounds better because like ramping up the trash complexity to make it so that you can't pull big obviously didn't work for one thing because people are still pulling big, but also made pugging keys or doing keys with people who are just coming back or just like doing keys where you don't want to have to think too hard, like practically impossible. Pugging keys this expansion was a nightmare for me.
Oh yeah, it's I loved watching my interrupt tracker as a healer and like seeing like one name on it for half the dungeon and be like, why is everybody like getting cleaved right now as like cast after cast goes through and having to be like, hey, like Mr. Rogue Bud, could you hit kick like just once please, like this ability is about to go off. So yeah, pugging was fun.
Yeah, there's definitely crucial kicks in the Shadowlands dungeons, but there's less, I think. There's lots of mobs that still cast spam cast on the tank. There's just a wide variety, but they're all in general slightly less involved than BFA.
I mean, so does that like from? I mean, just kind of thinking about that. Do you think then the sort of the design there is to put just more focus on like execution of like a route versus like kind of making sure you get the right trash and sort of understanding individual trash mechanics? Cause I mean, simplifying that aspect sort of makes the dungeon more straightforward, right? In terms of like, instead of having to juggle, like interrupting 5 or 6 mobs, if you pull big, it's like you juggle like 2, right? That you have to lock down.
Yeah, it's hard to say because right now in the beta, we're all like below heroic item level and tanks are still just getting slaughtered. So It's really hard to actually just see the whole big picture. I usually just have to tunnel my health bar, but the routing is going to be very interesting. The prideful affix mostly is going to change routing quite a bit. It's just like reaping where every 20% you have to fight something and you get a huge damage and healing increase and movement speed increase and mana from the prideful mob. So that's going to for sure like lock in 20% segments in the dungeons. And there's also the covenant specific buffs for each dungeon. And the way they've been developing those is making those covenant buffs really important to get or to use effectively. And some of them started off like pretty bad, like you didn't really need them per se, but even the worst ones like Sanguine Depths are now really, really good buffs. Like you get a 50% damage bonus for a full minute once you get it right.
Oh my God.
And it refreshes stacks if you do it right too. So it's like super important. You can stack that with Prideful and just obliterate something, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm a little bit annoyed that it's tied to covenants, personally.
Yeah, same. I still wish they would do an either or on those. Like, it would make sense to me if it was more like Court of Stars back in Legion, where if you had either the profession or you were a certain class, you could interact with the item. In this case, they could do like either the covenant or the profession, like engineering or herbalism and Night Fae would be able to do the stuff in Mists, something like that.
Or they could go way back. Do you remember the Cataclysm dungeon buffs that required archaeology?
Archaeology.
Oh, no.
They could make it archaeology or your covenant, and functionally nothing changes for most people.
That's funny. Yeah. I say every time it's Kata, whatever, we're like time walking, like I always walk by those and I'm like, I remember clicking this dirt pile and getting a damage buff.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't play back then very much.
It was it's an interesting time. But yeah, so you mentioned something about like the prideful piece. So I guess the idea then it's gonna function sort of like Reaping did, where like you're gonna time getting the buff. Is it good? Do you think it'll align mostly with like bosses, or are there gonna be certain like packs you want to align getting the prideful buff going into?
Well, so let me preface this with the way I think about Shadowlands is I always think about how they're gonna end up having it tuned when it launches. I'm trying to predict that. Right now, bosses are so overtuned that you definitely want to use Pride on every single boss fight if possible. But by the time it launches, I think they'll have toned down most of those boss fights. And so maybe you'll want to use Pride on some trash. But in general, I think, yeah, the boss fights are very challenging right now.
Is that just like the abilities on bosses do too much damage?
Oh, yeah. Some of them happen too frequently. In my taste, I don't think they're actually designed to be that frequent in some cases. Like there's a tank hit on the last boss of the other side. Sometimes he does 2 in the phase and sometimes he does 5 tank hits in the phase. I think it's just spell killing problems. But the overtuned problem is the last boss, Theater of Pain, nearly one-shots me on a 16 Tyrannical already, and it happens every 15 seconds. If you guys remember the tank hit from the first boss of Maw of Souls back in the day.
Good old Ymiron.
It's very similar to that. And it feels like I'm doing like a 25 Maw on a 16.
Jesus. Yikes. Did you see, unrelated, well, kind of related, they had to nerf Ymiron's tank hit for time walking leveling because of how hard it hits.
Really?
They did.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
I have fond memories of progging that boss in Mythic Flip.
Yeah, that was good. Interesting. So, I mean, it sounds like then, like, Prideful at least is going to function similar to Reaping in that you'll want to trigger it at a specific time. I mean, is it fun, I guess, would be the question I have. I mean, I played, like, one or two dungeons, didn't really know what to do with it. So, I guess the idea with your experience, Trell, like, is it, in terms of, like, affix ranking, like, would you put it top, middle of the road, bottom?
I think it's the best of the best seasonal affixes they've done.
Oh, really? So you like it better?
That's
than
high praise.
Yeah, I think it's actually. I think it's better than Reaping. It's better than Awakened, because you can plan for it and you can work the dungeon in many different ways with it. But not only that, you just get like a full minute of just straight up power. It's really cool.
I mean, it's kind of like people have been asking for these Kiss Curse kind of affixes for a while, as a way to make keys more interesting without making them more punishing. Mm-hmm. And Awakened is kind of that, because like you have to kill extra mobs, but you get a skip. And Prideful is kind of like that too, where you have to kill this extra big mob that does a bunch of damage, but then it gives you a huge power spike for a minute.
Yeah, and Awakened was a great affix because of that. I think that was a great idea too. So this one just feels new. It feels like it took the best part of Reaping and brought it back, and it also added something on top.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's exciting. At least to play with it, at least season one. So it'll be interesting to see what they follow up with, because it seems like they've been getting at least better at the seasonal affixes with the last two. So
yeah, except for Beguiling, yeah.
Yeah, Beguiling. Oh my god. That stupid arcane mob that as a healer, I had to like sit on top of it and just knock it back with Crackling Jade Lightning as a Mistweaver man. Ugh. God, dude, being a healer, man.
I mean, they kind of went every other one was really good in BFA. You know, Infested was not great, but Reaping was good. Then Beguiling was not at all great, and then Awakened was really, really good. And you know, I'm a little bit encouraged because they're not skipping one here. They're going right from Awakened into Prideful, and Prideful sounds good.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that too. It's a good point.
Well, that's cool. I mean, and it's just a single mob, right, that spawns. It's not like a bunch of them, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's a mini boss type mob that spawns, big red guy. Yeah. Not CCable, not sellable. Just spawns a crosshair on a player every like 5 or 8 seconds. Maybe it's 10 seconds. You just gotta dodge as a group. and it ramps up to 20 stacks where it has, where it maxes out its damage on its pulse and its auto attack.
So that's basically a way, like, you can't just leave it up and sort of kite it for a little bit or pull it with you.
Right. So it started off as being capped at 30 stacks on that. They changed it to 20 recently. I wonder where it's going to land on release, but at 20 right now, I think healer throughput will reach a point where we can pull it with other stuff, but right now we got to pull it solo with less than heroic item level.
Right. So then probably by the time people are mythic geared, you'll be able to pull it with some other things or like pull it into a boss and you have the last, you know, few percent that you do along with the boss and then just have the buff for the whole boss fight.
Yeah, that would be super ideal. If we reach that point, which I suspect we will, like we'll likely find a way to be able to deal with that and make it more efficient in the end.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So you mentioned the AOE cap as well and the impact that's having on pulling big. One of the things that a lot of people speculated about is that this would mean that certain classes that have uncapped AOE would actually be just the new go-tos. Is that how it's been kind of in your view, or is it still the good old rogues and demon hunters and high utility specs ruling the roost?
Well, there's not a ton of huge pulls that people can do yet because we're one, new to the dungeons, and two, kind of underpowered still. But the untargeted classes very much shine in the few pulls in the dungeons that are forced to be big. Like there's a room at the end of Halls of Atonement that's like 20 targets, so you can't avoid it. It's one pull. There's the last boss room of Plaguefall has like 18 targets as well. And so those pulls, it's obvious who's uncapped. Like a Boomkin does a lot of damage in those pulls. It's like triple the other guys. But in general, their overall kind of goes back down to relative amounts if they're not a Frostmage. Frostmage is really overtuned right now. But every other class kind of ends up at the same overall if they're all playing well. But we may see that get skewed in seasons down the road, I think.
I think that's fair. Especially also, I guess some of that question really boils down to how much damage the different specs do. Because right now it sounds like they're all kind of similar on AoE in situations that aren't unfavorable to the capped classes. But
yeah, that's
a tuning thing.
Like each class has a different damage profile, right? Like there's burst here, there's more sustain, there's ramp classes. But most of them are tuned close, if not tuned well. Except Frostmage. But the AoE cap, one thing I wanted to mention about the AoE cap is some pulls are obviously more than 5 or 8 mobs just by default in this expansion and in BFA as well. And those pulls are very awkward on bolstering. Like you can't control which mobs evened out on their HP. It's just the nearest 5 mobs in most cases are hit by your damage. And so like when mobs are all stacked on top of each other, you can't just like choose to even out a high mob anymore if there's more than 5 targets in the pull. And so it makes it a very awkward interaction with bolstering. And I hope they change bolstering at least to match their new philosophy.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, speaking of bolstering, they actually made a change on pre-patch, and I don't know if this is intended or not, where mobs that used to not bolster, notably the slimes in Mechagon Junkyard, now bolster, which is loads of fun. We had a solid 10 stacks on something when we accidentally pulled a slime onto it earlier. That was
That's just a coding mistake, I think. There's been all kinds of weird changes in BFA dungeons since pre-patch launch.
Yeah.
Like there's all kinds of bugs that people could use for the entire expansion that are now randomly fixed right after the expansion is over. Like the Machimba, the embalmer bug is fixed. Only the slimes and junkyard now resume doing on-death affixes like Sanguine and Bolstering, like you said. The other mobs like the neutrals and shrine don't still. So it's just the slime and junkyard.
Got you. So it's probably not something that's intentional and like we won't have to worry about that in Shadowlands keys.
Right. I hope not. And those are by the way, those are like handpicked by Blizzard, which mobs don't do on-death affixes. So they just have to identify them and turn them off, basically. Okay. They've done actually a decent job of that so far in Shadowlands dungeons beforehand, which I'm surprised about.
Yeah, that was honestly one of the if you think back to season one keys, there were quite a few the first couple of weeks that did bolstering or sanguine or whatever that made things really, really hard because they weren't.
Yeah, there were quite a few.
And the neutral change, I think, happened during season one as well, where neutrals stopped bolstering red mobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good change. They kind of finally got to a good spot in BFA where lots of little mobs didn't do on-death affixes or just didn't impact the awesome mob.
Yeah. Is there in the Shadowlands dungeon, is there a lot of like neutral mob like pulls at all, or is it sort of mostly reds?
There's not a ton of neutrals. I can think of a couple, but there's not a lot. There's definitely a lot of small mobs that shouldn't do on death affixes. Some of them still do, of course, but most of them don't. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Interesting. Interesting.
So I have a very specific question. Did they get rid of the target nearest enemy abilities? Like, are those still in Shadowlands keys?
Oh, you're not gonna like the answer to that
one. Oh my god, they are. Aren't they?
There's more.
Oh no.
Oh god.
Yeah. So the way I figure they've done this is they've changed the way they design mobs to have like a default template where they just hit the nearest target if the tank is out of range by default.
Oh, and that's so bad.
They flip a switch on that on a lot of mobs and turn that off, luckily. But there's tons of mobs in Shadowlands that hit the nearest target if the tank's like 1 inch out of melee. And so it's really frustrating as a tank player because you can see like all kinds of problems with it. Like there's some mobs that have a stacking tank debuff that forces you to kite and then kills your melee because you had to kite. There's a whole affix that forces you to kite, necrotic, that kills your party when you kite. There's several bosses that have we call them fervent strike mechanics in the Mythic Plus community because that's what the Talbazar mob does that hits the nearest target.
Right,
that's a well known one. Well, so the bosses will actually fervent strike players as well, and some of those have been fixed so far, but there are many that are not fixed.
That's honestly one of my least favorite things about BFA dungeons is because, especially earlier in the season as well, like sometimes you have to kite not because of affixes or because of mob mechanics. You just have to kite because you're getting deleted by the trash. And It feels really bad when you're like, I can stay here and hopefully the healer can just pump into me and I live. Or I can run away and hope that the melee stays at like max range and doesn't die.
Yeah, or like hope that your melee have the foresight to see you're out of range and pop parry or evasion or something, you know. It is very awkward as a tank player. It's like, why should I have to choose if I die or my melee die, you know? I don't want either to happen.
You seem to get a healer that keep everybody alive, you know? So,
what you're saying is we just need the Mist Weaver to sit there channeling Soothing Mist and they press their Vivify button repeatedly on me, right?
So boring. I hate those spells. Just give me uplift back, man. That's all I want.
But it sounds like from what I've been hearing about Shadowlands keys, that's actually not keeping you all from kiting.
Oh yeah, I mean you still like base instinct to stay alive, right? Like you still have to kite and keep yourself up, get rid of your debuffs, but it's just really annoying to see your friends die to that mechanic.
It seems like such a, like, I don't know why, like, it just seems like a weird thing to put on most mobs, right? Like, I can see that being something that Blizzard wants to cover certain abilities, right, that they don't want avoided through, like, we'll say clever use of game mechanics, like the old Garrosh jumping off the platform as a monk and then teleporting back on to avoid one of his tank abilities, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the idea is, like, that they now put it on a bunch of stuff just seems... like a little, like I guess it's the Blizzard way of doing things, a little heavy-handed in terms of like just making sure now you can't avoid anything.
It's very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It's so the reason they brought this about in BFA is because of the Legion Mythic Plus meta where you would just get threat with your 1000% tank threat modifier in Legion, instantly get threat on everything for the support and then pour it out basically. And your party would slow the mobs and prevent them from ever being in range of you. And so they would just walk at you and do nothing. So they added that mechanic to BFA to prevent that. So if you kited, your party just died. but they also reduced threat at the same time. So they did two fixes to try to prevent this, and both of them have been super annoying. And I think both of them are overkill.
Yeah. This is also something where, like, there are other ways to deal with this too that aren't just randomly delete a DPS. They could have the mobs charge the tank, for example, if they didn't want you, if they were really opposed to you kiting them. Like, if the Etalthazar mobs, when they Fervent Strike, just, like, leapt to you, I don't think that would have been a problem. And they already have stuff in place where, like, if there's not a path for them to do it, there are mobs that teleport you to them. And, like, that's really awkward when it happens, but I would rather have that happen than have DPS randomly die because I stepped an inch out of range.
Yeah, I don't like any of those things, but you're right.
I mean, yeah, I don't really like him either, but
I love randomly losing control of my character as I get flipped through the air by some dumb mob.
Speaking of teleports, though, someone told me that, what is it? Snap spots are not, like, basically don't exist in Shadowlands keys. Like, is that for real?
That is for real. So there's actually a lot of different ways that snapping happens in keys, and it's dungeon dependent. For example, in Etalthazar, if you step on a no path available spot, things will port to you for the most part, except for a couple mobs that'll port you to them. There's another one. In Freehold, if you step on a no path available spot, every mob in the dungeon will port you to them instead of them porting to you. So, like, it's dungeon dependent. They're trying to, like, create a blanket fix for their terrain problems in these dungeons. In Shadowlands, there's not really any snap spots per se. So there's no way to, like, port mobs directly to you by standing on a specific spot. And I don't think I've been ported to a mob yet, which is good. I'm glad.
That's an improvement. That's
But there is a no path available, the mob will port to you eventually type thing still. So, like, if you go 100 yards away and something is still aggroed on you, it will port to you once it has given up trying to reach you by phone.
Okay, so it sounds like it's probably not time efficient to snap things a lot of the time because of that. Like, it takes time for them to decide to do it.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be, like, readily apparent to do that for, like, a good strategy. Although I think I could imagine a couple scenarios where we could use that to our advantage with, like, spawning a pride. So in Theater Pain, as an example, my current plan is to, like, kill the fourth boss downstairs, and then you have to take a portal up to the final boss, and there's some, like, 25 seconds of RP. And if you spawn the pride during that RP and then port up and then make it port to the group up top because of no path available, then that would actually work out in the group's favor. And you would have pride for the last boss that way. But that's, like, one of very few niche situations where I think, like, the pathing snap is useful.
Got you. That's probably, like I said earlier, I mostly just do weekly keys, which means that I don't get involved in a lot of the snapping and stuff like that. I do get asked to do it surprisingly often because people are like, oh, you can just snap that awakened mob over here and have it teleport to us.
Yeah.
And I ripped a key last week because I snapped it to us and then it evade bugged and stood there for 30 seconds before resetting. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? Love snap spots.
Love snap spots.
That's actually, I only really tanked in season 4 for Mythic Plus, but learning those spots was always, I think, really interesting to me in terms of, like, efficiently moving mobs. And every time I found or, like, saw, like, an MDI team or a stream of somebody doing a new snap spot, like, that was actually the one thing I found the most fun in dungeons. Was, like, trying those out and trying to get them right on the first time. But it's really awful trying to do the tall ones and you jump off the side. It's great when you do that with, like, four of your buddies and, like, that's like the next 30 minutes of them just making fun of you for, like, nosediving off the edge. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've fallen off a Talazar probably 100 times.
Yeah. But I think learning those was, I think that's a cool, I don't know, for me at least, like, not doing super, you know, tough keys and sort of an Emerson's level, like, a little bit more casual. That was always an interesting mechanic in terms of, like, something, you know, tanks could do that I thought was cool. I don't know how, like, that equates to, like, MDI level sort of competition, right? Having to get those right, like, the first time you run in and do it. But I think at least at the more casual level, those were just, like, an interesting thing of having, like, being able to like quickly move mobs around, right? Stack them up. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting at first when you first discover and you're like, oh, this is so efficient, I love this. But it comes with lots of problems too. Like the fact that it exists means you have to do it in MDI because it's the fastest way. But it comes with all these bugs and interactions that can vary. Like if you snap a mob like 1 inch in the air on the snap spot, it'll evade and shrine, for example, and reset the whole pull. So you got to be like really careful when you aggro mobs while you're on the snap spot. Make sure you're like firmly on it before you touch them to make sure they snap correctly. There's also the fact that when Sard snap into Tal'Dorei, some of them will end up behind you and hit you from behind initially. So there's like no real way to counter that. If someone tricks to you or if you transcend to the snap spot, like some of them will likely spawn behind you at first.
For clarity, you cannot block, parry, or dodge attacks that come from behind you. And I think that's, for most practical purposes, not as relevant on Brewmaster because Lal stagger. But like if you're playing a warrior and you can't block things coming from behind you, you're going to die.
Oh, I've been global as a Brewmaster in high keys from being hit from behind during a snap.
Jesus. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's, you know, higher keys than I've ever done. But yeah, I would guess that Brewmaster is one of the less affected tanks compared to like a warrior that relies on block.
Yeah, true.
Man, I had something I was going to say and now I've forgotten what it was. Oh, yeah, you know what would be great? If instead of like, obviously snap spots are very useful, just like as a mob control, mob positioning kind of thing. It feels like there's this whole unexplored space of like giving tanks or really just giving players actual abilities that do kind of mob positioning control. Like we've got Death Grip. Death Grip exists, Mass Grip exists, there's stuff like Ring of Peace and some knockbacks, but nothing that's very precise outside of Death Grip.
True. That would be really cool if we had more ways to control mob position like that. We got this new tool called Clash in Shadowlands, which currently doesn't do anything, but it would be cool if that did something.
Wait, does it actually not work at all right now?
It works. It'll try to move the mob halfway between you and the target, and then it'll like rubber band back to where it was, basically.
Nice.
Man, that I like how you like new ability in Clash. It's MOP special.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very emblematic of monks because it's broken in many different ways.
Yeah.
So I had some notes in here about like how right now, from what I've been hearing on Shadowlands beta, tanks are kind of getting deleted. But honestly, it sounds like part of that is just the gear level. Because if you go into a pre-patch key with like LFR or normal gear, you're actually fine because of how the squish worked. But if you had done that in 8.3. I think you probably would have died a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Pre-patch brew feels actually really good. I'm hoping we get to that point in Shadowlands earlier than the last final season, but with all the stats we have and Celestial Brew being added on top of our current kit in BFA, it's been really fun to do keys, actually.
I had my healer in keys today asked me if this was the new normal, if they were going to not have to heal me anymore, and I told them not to get used to it, so...
Yeah, you already spam me in Shadowlands. I was talking to my girlfriend Kia, she also plays Brewmaster, today about the difference between pre-patch Brewmaster and Shadowlands Brewmaster. And I think it's because in pre-patch we have this critical level of self-healing where we can support ourselves to always use our defensive abilities at like full optimization. Like you can purify at the right time, you can use Celestial Brew at full purified cheese stacks every time, basically, because you have enough base self-healing to last yourself to that point. And in Shadowlands, you just have like no sources of healing yet. Like right now in dungeons, 34% of my healing comes from trinkets that are mythic item level, and I'm not going to have that for a while on launch. And so like until you get to mythic item level and you're taking enough damage to constantly have orbs and you have mythic item level trinkets and whatever else randomly heals you, it's going to feel definitely worse than pre-patch brew for a while.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. If you've ever like done a pull where like that pull went fine and you're like, oh, we can add more on top of this, and you add another thing to it, and then suddenly you cross that threshold to like from having enough self-healing to make it through it without any real attention to suddenly like that's no longer enough. I had that unintentionally happen today on my paladin where Righteous Avengers shield bounced to an extra pack, and you know, it was going fine, and then suddenly it was very not fine because Word of Glory was no longer enough to keep me up, and the healer wasn't paying attention to me.
Yeah, there you go. And then in the next situation, you have to start tunneling and just like firing off defensives and things that you're not going to use efficiently in that moment, right? Like, because you don't have enough base healing in the pool, you just have to like, if you're a monk there, you probably would have pressed Celestial Brew on like 2 stacks of Purified Chi, for example, instead of saving it for a 10 stack Celestial Brew, which is like 5 times better.
Yeah, it's this is another thing too. Like pre-patch keys feel really easy if you're doing them at like a level that's similar to what you were doing them before. Like I was getting up to low 20s, just doing casual weekly keys because that's what people had in 8.3, and doing those in pre-patch is like I can barely break Celestial Brew sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's the tuning that they did on these BFA dungeons. It feels like it's last season minus 3 or 4 levels. So like if you did a 20 the week before the prefetch hit, and then you did a 24 the next week, it probably would feel about the same on average.
I meant to go and check before this. So they changed the scaling factor from like 10% per key level to like 6% from what I could tell. Is that something that's on... Do you know if that's on Shadowlands beta as well, if that's how the keys scale there too?
I asked Squishy, one of the data mining guys at Wowhead about it, and he said beta was on a completely different scaling factor. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. Maybe it's like 0.85 or something.
That is very interesting. Yeah, so okay. Question. What's your favorite dungeon?
Right now, my favorite dungeon's Mists of Tyranid Scythe for a couple of reasons. One, it doesn't have like extremely nasty pulls for the tank after the first area. Like once you get past the first boss, you're actually just cruising for the rest of the dungeon as a tank. It has a pretty cool maze that guides you through that you have to solve as you fight packs, which I think is a pretty cool interaction. It has some freedom in the last area of what you want to pull. All the mobs there are decent, good for count, and you can combine or skip packs at your leisure, kind of like Freehold, but it's only that one area. The last boss of Mists has like a really unique new mechanic. Enjoy that one too. But yeah, that's a good dungeon.
Interesting. So does the I was wondering about that with the maze and mist. Is it static from week to week that you've noticed, or is it still sort of random?
It seems random to me. There might be some static part of it that I can tell. I'm still kind of figuring that kind of thing out. Like they do definitely have rotations on some of their dungeons things, like Waycrest did or Arcway did.
Yeah, so I was wondering, because Mist was one of the first, like, not Mythic Plus dungeons I did, but like Heroic dungeons and those, because that was one of the first ones I think that came out when it was Alpha, and that was the first thing I wondered about, was like the maze being static or dynamic in terms of Mythic Plus, because like you get kind of potentially screwed in terms of like the route that you end up getting through that, whether it's, you know, 3 or 4 different rooms you had to sort of fight your way through.
Yeah, I was worried about that too, but now that I've done a bunch of missed keys, I still don't know if it's weekly or not, but once you get out of the maze, you usually end up having somewhere between like a 5% delta and enemy forces count. So it's not like too bad on the variability. I usually exit the maze at like 58% or 63%, one of the two.
Got it. So yeah, it's probably like the difference between like one additional room or not, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then if it sounds like there's that area at the end that's pretty open, so if you end up with the route that gives you more count, you can just skip some at the last area.
Yeah, you can just skip one pack, and it's usually pretty solid. Mists, it's surprisingly easy to handle the RNG of the maze.
Nice. That's at least good news, because that was the first thing I thought about when I ran that place. So this is gonna be hell on Mythic Plus week, trying to figure out like, did I get a good maze, did I get a bad maze, am I taking like 6 rooms instead of like 4 rooms? So yeah, at least that they've kind of, you know, limited that, which I think is good. So
Yeah, I agree.
On that note, though, so from the videos I have seen, it seems like there's a relatively large number of Shadowlands keys that are hallway-ish. Maybe not to the extreme that King's Rest is, but still very much more of the bunch of hallways kind of style, as opposed to the freehold, you know, big open area kind of deal. Is that just like happens to be what I saw, or is that actually how the keys have played out?
Oh, that is pretty accurate for the most part. Most of the dungeons are more linear than they are open, but it's more of a mix, I would say. Like, there's some dungeons that are extremely linear, like the other side is basically King's Rest in terms of how linear it is. But even then, it still has three different wings that you can choose which wing to go to first. It's kind of weird. It's like they're all a mix of it. Theater Pain's the same way, where it has three wings, but each of those wings are pretty linear hallways. And then there's dungeons like Plaguefall, which are more similar to Motherlode, where like each area is kind of closed off, but the area themselves are kind of open.
Yeah, like there's like a connector hallway.
If that makes sense.
I was going to say, like, Motherlode's basically there's like a connector hallway between the two like larger open areas, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't really mind that much. Halls of Atonement's pretty open for most of the dungeon. That's the closest thing to Freehold there is. I think a lot of people would complain that they're too linear, but in my opinion, I think there's a lot of good ways you can skip trash and creative pathing you can do, and I think it's going to be pretty fun to figure out the trick.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, as someone that like doesn't always do a key with a rogue, just not having the King's Rest situation again, where it's a totally linear dungeon, and if you just kill everything in the line, then you end up at 125%, you know, as long as it's not that situation. I think there's room for the more linear dungeons to exist and be fun.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think there is a problem in theater without having a rogue. I think you end up with too much enemy forces, but I don't think the dungeons in general are nearly as bad as BFA about that.
Is there another like Waycrest, I'm in a small hallway and my camera is right on top of me type situation?
Yes, there's a new Toldagor, Sanguine Depth.
Oh no.
Oh, there's a new I love it.
Okay, so when you say new Toldagor, are you meaning that in the bugs, things pulling through the floors and walls kind of situation?
Yeah, some stuff has been pulling through floors and walls. Not a ton, not as much as Toldagor. The hallways are wider for one, which helps. But there are still spots where you can pull through, I've seen. The camera angle does get pretty bad in Sanguine Depths. And in the small cathedral at the end of Halls of Atonement as well.
That's like my biggest pet peeve playing this game is like when I can't get my camera where I want it. And it's because like of some weird geometry, like they did some ornate thing on the ceiling that I literally don't care about, but my camera gets hung up on like whatever archway model they put up there. And then I drop a ring.
The banners in Temple of Sithralis just consuming a ring apiece every time.
I love that. I love that. It's great.
I had the hive mind this week. I don't know where I stood, but wherever I stood, I had my camera zoomed all the way out and I backed up into a corner and my screen just turned purple, like solid purple. And I was like, what the fuck happened? And I could still see my UI. So like, I knew it wasn't like a graphics driver or graphics card issue at least, but it was a...
I've got an opinion on that one too. I've got opinions on all this stuff. Sorry to interject so much, but
you're good.
The camera thing and WoW, I think that's just a game engine problem. Like they could make it to where when your camera hit a wall, it just turns the wall invisible. A lot of games have that now, so you can have just a better view of where you are, no matter what's going on behind your or above your character. And I think Final Fantasy may have that. I'm not 100% sure on that, but whenever you're up against the wall as a tank, you can just see through the wall, you know? I think that's a pretty good solution to that.
Yeah, a lot of the like raid encounters and stuff like that in Final Fantasy actually just happen in an area with no walls. Like, they just don't put walls in.
That's awesome.
The dirty FF game, man.
I honestly haven't noticed it doing dungeons because, I mean, they're basically heroic dungeons. So it's a lot... You spend a lot less time hunched up against a wall to deal with mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah, the camera thing, yeah, would definitely, it would be, if maybe not invisible, but if they softened the zoom in and zoom out, like when you hit an edge, right, that would be probably better, or at least somewhat better, where it wasn't like such a snap change in terms of your perspective. It's like a slow zoom in or zoom out, like as you sort of equalized, so.
Yeah, anything but their current system would be nice.
Yeah, true. Definitely. Yeah, I think, I don't know if there's, was there anything else, Emerson?
At least wanted to bring up threat. We kind of touched on it earlier, and I think some of the answer is just tuning is not done yet, and LFR gear or normal gear, you know, that kind of thing. But been hearing real bad things about threat unless you play basically Prop Paladin, Vengeance Demon Hunter.
Yeah, threat's been pretty rough on beta. So for one thing, we've had borrowed power threat in BFA through our Heart of Azeroth.
Right.
And the minor essences unlocked like a new threat modifier for tanks. And that's gone all of a sudden in Shadowlands. So we're back to just base 400% tank threat. In Legion, it was 1,000% for perspective. The 400% was like way too low, at least for all of beta until maybe now. But that's only because there's no overpowered classes currently. As soon as something becomes tuned too high or DPS classes scale higher than tanks, which they probably will, as always, on damage, like they just scale faster with how much output they get.
Right.
Threat will become a problem again. And so I've been really pushing for upping base tank threat from 400 to like 500 or 600%. Doesn't need to be 1,000 like Legion. Like that was a little too easy, maybe. But at least give tanks a chance to deal with like bad tuning from Blizzard's end, you know? Yeah, so that would be my end game solution, I think. It's because every patch they're going to have to try to figure out this problem again. And it's just not fun to test while they're trying to figure out the problem.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, threat, I don't think is fun gameplay. Trying to do the most damage you can, I think, is fun gameplay.
Absolutely. And I think threat should matter to a point. I think if a tank is doing their optimal rotation and they're playing well, then they should have threat, like, no matter what. But right now, I'm an experienced Brewmaster player. I'm not trying to say I'm amazing. I can do a very efficient opener on a pack, and I'll still instantly lose threat to a Frostmage. Or as of last week, like any class I played with.
Yeah, it's I don't really want to be in that situation. Like trying to tell people three Sunders is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think threat in general being a mechanic for tanks is like probably one of the most uninteresting things. Like in terms of like one of the, something you actually have to manage, like monitor and manage to that sort of an extent, right? It just seems like I'm trying to think of an analogous thing to like what a healer would have to deal with in terms of threat, but it would be like if we had to like hit a button every time we wanted like a hot to tick or something.
It's like if when you're healing an AoE, okay, if there was a dot that got applied to people if you hadn't targeted them recently with a single target heal. That's actually how threat played in a lot of BFA too, because I would have to single target taunt things that, you know, the warrior was, you know, done his smash on, his colossus smash on, anything like that. I would have to do a taunt or at least switch over and blackout strike it in order to get threat back.
Let's put it this way. Your party is taking so much damage that you have to spam your like some AoE heal every single global, and if you take one global off that spam, someone dies. Like that's how threat feels when it's this bad. If you take one global off some damaging ability on the mobs, then you're going to lose one of them. And you're like, obviously you want to be able to help your group. You want to roll out and heal the group. You want to ring a piece and heal yourself. You want to dispel something, and that's not a damaging global, you know? There's all kinds of things that once you solve threat, you can do and enjoy the game.
Yeah,
that really doesn't, like, I think there's a decent chunk of this issue that is just tuning that hasn't been done yet, because tank damage is all over the map. Like, Paladins still do more damage than some DPS.
Yeah, that's just a numbers thing, I think.
So, But yeah, I'm definitely on board with making threat less important. Like if they really wanted it to just be like, oh, you can't bring a super under-geared tank in and have them hold threat, like they've tacked on scaling to our mitigation from our stats. They could tack on scaling to threat if they really cared about it and just make it so that like once you get, you know, appropriate gear level, you just don't have to worry about it. Like I just don't want to have to worry about it really.
Yeah, something like that would be nice for sure.
Yeah. I think it might be time for your favorite part of the show, Anam.
Well, I had one last thing. I just wanted to get Trell's. Yeah, I just want to get Trell's opinion. I don't know if we covered this really, but as like sort of a wrap up to this, I sort of Trell from your experience sort of in BFA going into Shadowlands, what you've done at least on beta so far, like is high key pushing looking, you know, better, worse? Fun? Is it just like, hey, there's new dungeons, there's a fun affix, so it'll be a good time? Or is there like some dungeons? I always ask you what your favorite dungeon is, but across the board, are the dungeons looking better in terms of design, or is like just going to be the same BFA to SL?
It's hard to say because I'm definitely biased on having new content to work through. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it just because it's new, but I'm trying to like set that aside and think of it objectively. I think the dungeons are pretty good. They're just tuned really high right now. Like tons of trash and bosses just hit way too hard or have weird spoke use going on. But I think once that's all figured out, they're going to be pretty fun. And I can't see any issues right now where like the situation in BFA where King's Rest was only doable like three levels below every other dungeon, you know? I can't see anything like that going on yet. It's possible that could come out later when stuff gets amplified at higher levels. But so far, I'm pretty excited about it, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's good. I will continue to do my 15s every week, get my Keystone Master, call it a day.
Well, but now we have incentive to do more than just our weekly 15s, right? Because we got to do, what is it? One for the one item, and was it five for two items and 10 for three items? From the weekly
for the box? Third choice, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
God, no.
I'm probably not.
Do your 10 weekly 15s.
Level with you. I am not doing 10 weekly 15s, but I might do five.
I think if I'm healing again, I'll probably do 10. I don't mind it. Although I get such bad anxiety healing dungeons, man. I think it's the flashbacks to Maw Souls when I ran with a tank that literally one of the first Mythic Plus dungeons I ever did with him, he just pulled in three pulls that entire place.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, I was like chasing after him. Like I felt like I was doing bad. Like I was like, oh my God. It was crazy. But yeah, maybe I'll do a couple more now that I have to get more gear.
Oh man, doing Maw Souls in three pulls? That's the life. Yeah, that is fun. Living the life.
Yep.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah,
that was maybe my favorite kind of scenario.
Oh man. All right, yeah. So I think it is time maybe for my favorite part of the podcast. It's Q&A time. So as always, Emelson and I, we answer your questions regardless of what they are. We'll throw them in here as long as they're decent. I mean, if they're bad questions, we're not going to answer them, but most of the time we'll answer them. So if you guys do have questions, as always, you can let us know Discord, down on Twitter. If you use it, you can post on Peak. But yeah, we have some questions this week. Some of them are Trell appropriate. So we'll start with this first one. It comes from, Abbe, I believe is how you pronounce this. And they ask, when do we get to see, I guess here, when do we get to see Trell's showerhead again?
Oh man, this is so weird. For some reason, people in Peak of Serenity Discord just like ping me asking for a picture with my showerhead all the time.
I missed the origin of this meme. Was there just like a picture at one point that just you happened to have the showerhead in the shot?
I honestly have no idea where this started. And sometime later after it started, I actually posted a picture next to my shower head, like looking really confused because I still don't understand why they wanted it. Maybe I'll do another one.
There's a Photoshop I've seen floating around of you and Kiev at BlizzCon with your head replaced with a shower head.
Oh, yeah. That's
pretty good. Awesome. Okay, so we don't know where that one comes from. What a bad question. Abbe. All right. So next up, we have one from someone that goes by the name of Bearfoo, and they ask, let's say you were given the chance to design a new talent to replace Spitfire. What would your ideal brew-focused replacement be that might actually see some use in Mythic Plus?
Literally anything, I think, would be better than Spitfire. That row is such a non-brainer. That row has Light Brewing and Blackhawk's Brew on it, which are one of the two you need for survival. Like, you straight up can't play without them, I wouldn't say, in hard content. As a third choice, they needed to make something that at least provided some defensive value. I think Spitfire is purely DPS, and it's like such a tiny gain for losing such a good defensive game that it's just never worth taking.
Spitfire is, right now, if you do Sims, there's a decent chance Spitfire comes out as number one for DPS, but it's going to be like 10 DPS more than the next best.
Yeah. So you sacrifice a lot by taking it. So I think they'd have to do some kind of hybrid talent that maybe gave you a little bit of damage, but also gave you some CDR on your brews, or made your brews do something special.
Oh, you know what would be cool? If they gave us Spitfire, but like when you cast Breath of Fire, it gave you brew reduction, like Keg Smash.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Then your Spitfire resets actually do something.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be nice. Or like what I was thinking as an alternative would be, on that row, make it so every time you press Purifying Brew, you take 5% less magic damage for 5 seconds or something. It's just like a different defensive gain, but that wouldn't up your damage at all.
I don't think it needs to, though. Like, Light Brewing doesn't. Blackhawk's Brew technically does because it refunds energy, but that hasn't been relevant since Legion.
Yeah, true. It's just like they could either make just a third defensive option, or they can make a hybrid, in my mind.
Yeah, I think they got burned a little bit. I think the reason like Blackout combo is something they won't make good again is because they got burned on like that talent row in Legion. High Tolerance was still extremely good defensively, and Blackout combo was like the hybrid choice, but because it also did more damage, everybody used it, even though there were definitely times that like people should have been playing High Tolerance, but they didn't because they wanted to do more damage.
Oh yeah, I was super stubborn about switching to High Tolerance in Legion because of that, which I think was a cool choice. Like, I ended up playing High Tolerance and some 27 keys in Legion, and that was it. Like, I played Blackout combo and everywhere else for fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Blackout combo is definitely the more fun of the two.
Interesting. Okay, I don't even know what those talents do. So
basically, okay. I guess for everybody that's not a brewmaster, so Spitfire is a talent that's on the row where both of the other options give us additional brews. So brews are our defensive buttons. So they give us more defensive power in a really big way, in a really important way. Spitfire doesn't. Technically, there's like a very small defensive component where like there's like 3 seconds of downtime on the Breath of Fire dot where you're losing that 5% damage reduction. But that math adds like a 1% damage reduction overall increase. It's really, really weak. And Breath of Fire itself doesn't do barely any damage, so like getting resets isn't very good either. It's just like a really bad talent in a really awkward position on the talent row.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I see some new thing designed around Breath of Fire, I kind of roll my eyes because Breath of Fire just doesn't do any damage.
Yeah. It has a really cool animation, though.
It sure does.
It sure does. It's got a really cool icon, too. Like, there's everything about it that's really cool except for what it does.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So now that I've learned a little bit about Brewmaster, we'll move on. So
didn't
next
you tank for your guild this tier?
Yeah, I did. Low cameras is in Q&A, but like I looked at the Wellhead guide and did that. And then was like, all right, let's go. Let's figure it out.
Hey, that works.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so. All right, so next question comes from, Petted Delf. We'll go with it. Should spells that do little or no damage have higher threat modifiers, or should passive things like dodge also grant threat? Question.
You know, that's another. See, that to me is like trying to band-aid fix the general threat problem, and I think that could be a good solution. But in the past, they've actually removed threat from some things. Like, did you guys know that DK's Death Strike does not generate healing threat?
Yeah. I did. Self-healing ability, like Word of Glory, Light of the Protector didn't. I actually don't know if Word of Glory does or not, because it's technically the same spell as Rhett and Holy Paladins have now. But yeah, like any of that self-healing shouldn't generate threat, and they changed that in like Mop.
But Gift of the Ox and Expel Harm does generate threat. And healing pots generate threat. And so it's like, it's so convoluted in what does and doesn't generate what amount of threat, right? So it's so unintuitive for new players playing these specs. And so I think like adding that stuff is actually bad. They should just make base threat better in my mind.
Yeah. And like I've seen people make the argument that they should have like a threat rotation and then a damage rotation. But I don't think that works very well in practice. For reference, Final Fantasy had that up until the most recent expansion for tanks. You had your threat rotation and a damage rotation for most tanks.
Oh, okay.
And what happened is you would just do your threat rotation until you hit a level of threat that it no longer mattered, and then you would do your damage rotation for the rest of the fight.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's basically like a non-issue. Like you built up enough threat that it didn't even matter.
It mattered a little bit because their taunts in Final Fantasy don't give you the threat multiplier, so they had to do it like every taunt swap. You do it a couple times to get threat over your Gotenk, but that's it.
I see. Okay,
gotcha.
Like, it was just like a non thing, and they actually made the change in the most recent Final Fantasy expansion to remove that, so there's just a damage rotation, and then also get rid of most of the threat issues like they did in Cataclysm. So, I mean, it seems like two different teams reached the same conclusion with regards to threat.
Yeah. And also, like, the passive thing granting threat, like most of the time you want, like, if you're engaged with a mob, you're generating threat anyway. So, like, having an additional sort of passive threat grant should just be, I think, Trell, like you're saying, should just be baked into the base modifier. Versus like having like dodge or block or something like that, you know, increase threat. So
something about that as well that you got to keep in mind is the only time you care about threat is when you don't have it. And you don't have threat. If you don't have threat, you're not dodging anything or blocking anything. So it doesn't actually fix the problem of like where you've lost threat or haven't gotten threat yet.
And yeah, that's good.
Get it. It only means that, like, if you already have threat, you keep it.
It's the age old adage: once you're ahead, you want to get further ahead.
So. Yeah. Unfortunately, winning on threat doesn't kill bosses.
And then there should just be some aura, like when you're in melee range of the mobs you're tanking, you just generate an increasing amount of threat per second. That would counter the kiting thing, and it like the aura drops like quickly once you start kiting or something, but not instantly, you know. That way, there'd be like a nice curve of threat throughout a pull that you could work around and drop your stacks as need be. Because I feel like they're never going to design this game where you just don't have to kite ever. They have so many things that force you to kite eventually.
Right. Yeah,
I actually think that's kind of a cool idea. Like if it were kind of a stance thing where, you know, you went in and you had your stance on. Like in Mythic Plus, you just always have it on. But in raids, you might not want to because of, you know, two tanks.
Right.
And you'd put your stance on and you'd have extra threat on things that were in range of you. And if you went out of threat, like your dots aren't really, or went out of range, your dots wouldn't really generate threat. And so you'd start losing it to DPS.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. That way you could go like drop your necrotic stacks, you know, and then come back in before all your threat fully goes away. I don't know. It had to be tuned correctly still, which is a problem for Blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuning things. One of Blizzard's specialties. Awesome. I don't know. Awesome.
It's just a hard topic because the problem is there's always six tanks. Each patch, there's usually like four tanks that aren't great. There's usually two tanks that are decent or like overpowered, like Prot Warrior was a couple seasons. And Blood Decay and Legion. And these tanks usually have zero threat issues. That's one of the things that makes them a great tank. And people don't notice that. They see the damage from the top tank, and they're like, oh, that's why they're good. But usually it's because they can stay alive, and they can keep threat without issue in almost every situation. And there's usually like four tanks that just can't keep threat, or they have problems. And people don't notice that. Blizzard doesn't really notice that because they don't actively go do high mythic plus, you know. But if they just fixed the original issue of a bad tank threat modifier for the lesser specs, because there's always going to be some spec that's falling behind, then I don't think that would be quite as much of a problem for tanks. Being like trapped out of the meta, I mean.
Yeah, it's especially bad for anyone that gets additional resources for getting hit. I don't know how much of that still exists. I'm pretty sure they took away rage from damage taken and stuff like that from everybody in BFA, but I feel like there's still a couple of instances of like bears have a talent that you can hit it and it gives you rage from damage taken for a few seconds. And that would be something you would hit to generate a bunch of rage to then do a bunch of damage, except that there's not a good way to turn rage into AoE damage. And also, if you don't have threat, you can't use it.
Yeah, true. You could maul every target.
God. Oh, man. Alrighty. I think we have one last question here. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but I guess we can go in a little bit deeper.
Can you say this name?
Yeah, it's Vroom Vroom. Vroom Vroom. Like a race car. Vroom Vroom asks... Is this an actual person, Emerson? Like, are you trolling me here?
I swear I didn't make this up. Their Discord name is like their Discord tag is something different, but it was completely unrelated. So I just went with their display name and peak.
Okay. All right. Well, Vroom Vroom, thanks for the question. I don't believe this is a real name, but we'll go with it. They ask, is there anything numbers tuning aside you would want change/added to brew for Mythic Plus? I will say going into Shadowlands.
Honestly, it's just threat, man. I don't know.
I think I want for Christmas is a threat modifier.
I think I would prefer if they kept stagger at higher values every season instead of like starting really low in season one and then ramping up to season whatever is the last season of Shadowlands. Because stagger right now and pre-patch feels great, but it's at like 85%. And then my almost heroic item level geared beta tune has 70% stagger. So we're missing like 15% there. And I don't think we're going to make it up to 85 with mythic item level. I think it's going to be like 75.
Yeah, so the way BFA went, so like they have the thing where stagger scales with your agility. And so basically every patch cycle, you're like, you got some amount of, you would go up to like your mythic geared level of stagger. And then the next patch would hit and you'd get reset back down, except you would be reset back down except for like 2%. So then we had that steady trickle of just getting a little bit more stagger every single tier.
Mm-hmm.
But like that reset at the beginning of every patch is, oh, it feels so bad.
Yeah, it just always feels bad to be so weak as a tank. I just wish I could self-heal better or just not get global to physical damage as a brewmaster. Like that's just like the ultimate feels bad, man. Getting killed by straight up physical damage as a monk.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun.
But yeah, I just wish tanks were stronger in general in season one. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean as a healer, I'd like you guys to be a little bit more self-sufficient. I'll say that. It's always Actually, I lied. I don't want you to do that because Mistweaver's got really strong single target healing. So like,
what if you single target healed yourself? Like, what if we put a dot on the healer instead and you could just single target heal yourself?
So I could go AFK. I can macro that thing up into my keyboard right here. It'd be great.
And then the tanks could have fun and the healer could have fun.
Oh, God. I'd be so boring. Actually, to be fair, I'd be super boring. I'd probably still play it, though.
I just wish they could tune tanks and healers around like what season three was for Brewmaster, where you had a really good self-healing, but you still needed some healing from the healer. Like it wasn't that you could just go solo the dungeon. Yeah. I hate it when tanks are A, too overpowered to where they just never need healing ever, or B, when they need healing every single GCD or they die. I like somewhere in the middle on the upper end where you have a lot of self-sustain, but still need a trickle of pots or some attention now and then. And like some encounters like Shadow of Zul where you just have to straight up get bombed by your healer, which is cool. Like stuff like that every once in a while is fine.
Yeah.
I do think like I like when as well, you know, you can tell, your healer can tell when you've made a mistake, because suddenly they have to start healing you a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a nice little feedback loop of like, hey, what the fuck happens when they suddenly have to blast you?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Oh man, I think we're out of questions, I think, for the week on that note.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to Shadowlands Keys. Hopefully they resolve a bunch of these tuning issues, but I mean, I think, you know, fingers crossed, they have the delay. Maybe it'll all get fixed.
I think the delay is going to really help with Dungeons, personally. I'm sad because I'm going to be bored for a few months, but BFA, for example, had some bugs and tuning issues that lasted sometimes into season 2 and 3, and some that just got fixed 2 weeks ago, finally.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of that can be removed early from Shadowlands.
Oh, you know, I have one more question, actually, for you two. Outside of WoW, what have you been playing? I mean, I guess, Anam, you've been playing Build a Deck.
I have been all week. It's been absolutely terrible. So sorry, Charles, but I built a deck off the back of my house. It's awful, dude. Like, my arms hurt. I had to, like, hammer nails. I got, like, blisters on my hands. But no, yeah, the deck's done, actually. Well, okay, there's one railing section left to do, but other than that, it's done. I'm excited. But I have been, after, you know, a long day outside. It's not really hot here. It's been like 50, but in the sun, which I don't get out much. I'm playing a lot of Factorio, personally. And I'm addicted to that game. So, I don't know, Charles, have you been sort of slamming keys like always? Or you playing anything else out there?
I've been playing some Borderlands 3, actually. I've been playing some Hearthstone Battlegrounds. I got so bored this week that I practiced speed leveling the first few levels of Shadowlands.
Oh, man.
Nice. But otherwise, yeah, lots of beta keys or live keys whenever people are on.
Nice. I guess, Emerson, what have you been? Did you say what you were playing and I missed it?
No, I didn't, actually. Oh, nice. New Doom Eternal DLC came out this week. I played that this week. That took me a solid couple evenings to get through. But other than that, I've just been kind of like playing whatever from my Steam backlog, because, you know, those Steam sales, man, it's hard to say no to a game that's like really good for a couple dollars. So now I have a bunch of them. This is the best time to
Cyberpunk Punk too, right? That's like out in already, or a week or something.
Didn't it get delayed again?
I thought it was in November.
Oh wait, I'm confused. I think it's late November.
Oh no!
I have to beat. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to it, but I'm also a only buy games on sales kind of guy. So,
God, fair enough.
Get it when it's on sale for like $10.
Comes out November 19th, as an FYI. Maybe I'll play that. That'll be up next. We can have a podcast about how fun that game is, Emerson. Because there's nothing else to talk about. Wow.
Seriously. It's so hard to find topic.
You guys been having issues with that on Titanforge too?
Oh my god, yeah. We like talk about it Friday briefly. We're like, do we have a topic? No. It's Saturday morning, an hour before our podcast. All right, we have to pick something right now.
Yeah.
It's honestly, Emerson and I has been like, generally it's at the end of ours. We're like, and next week we're gonna talk about this. And it's been like, Emerson's like, we don't have anything on the schedule for this. Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what we should talk about either. Like, we did like our whole like BF or S Shadowlands review sections, thinking like, yeah, it'll be like perfect timing for when it'll come out.
Right. And then it got delayed.
Schedule off the rails.
If Shadowlands were coming out this coming to Shadowlands would have been coming out this next week if it were on schedule. I think it's very obvious that it would not have been ready. And so the delay is very obviously the correct thing for them to have done, but it did make podcasting a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, speaking of things on our schedule, we actually, for once, have a scheduled topic for next week. We're going to be talking with Vitamin P and or maybe Dratnos. He might pop in. About Raider.io and kind of the history and how Raider.io score and all that stuff has evolved over its lifetime and where things are looking for Shadowlands. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We will be talking with them next week about that. So if you have any questions about that, of course, reach out to myself or Anomaly on Discord. I ping us both when I post the podcast episodes. You can find us there. But yeah, I think that about wraps it up for today. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. As always, we really appreciate your support, both, you know, financially through Patreon and from coming and hanging out in Discord and asking questions. It's greatly appreciated. And hey, you should also go and check out the Titanforge podcast if you haven't. I listen to that, you know, most weeks. And they cover a lot of stuff from the perspective of like High Mythic Plus. But yeah, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.